Welcome back to 15 Minutes with Mark Wade.
Hi, I'm Mark Wade, editor-in-chief of Boom Studios.
I'm Daphna, completely bereft of any interesting information.
That's simply not true. You're just full of Koge beef. Where did you go for lunch?
Oh, we had the Koji truck.
Oh.
Which you can follow on Twitter.
If you are out of the Los Angeles area, you don't understand this phenomenon. But essentially, there are catering trucks that sort of prowl the area of Los Angeles. Not like just the cheap Mexican food trucks that roll up at the construction sites.
Which are also delicious.
Right, but this is now a whole new phenomenon in Los Angeles.
This is like, you know, hot couture of trucks. It's something they only announce where they are on Twitter. Right. It's not usually set. And in this case, it's like Korean barbecue, which is already delicious, with Mexican food, which is already delicious.
Right.
So it's delicious squared.
That's
so
awesome.
I just finished off, and the office reeks of it.
Yes, it does. Yes. So. Please bring in some microwave popcorn to clear the air.
Spicy chicken burrito.
It smelled great.
With kimchi. And
so that's where you were.
Now I'm spent for the rest of the day, so Mark's going to be talking.
So this is now what we're talking about. So she asked me at some point, she looks at my desk, which is cluttered with a few things here and there. And Daphna, and we can put a picture of this guy up on the podcast.
We could. Yeah, we'll take it with your iPhone.
So Daphna looks at my little, the one action figure I have in the entire office, just the one, is of Mr. Terrific.
He's not a real, Mark's full
describe
of crap.
Describe him.
It's a guy in red stockings and a green dinner jacket, Diner's Club, and he's got this little sign on his chest. Is it like a curtain revealing his stomach?
It looks like kind of like a little curtain, a little stage,
this
exactly.
This is Fair Play.
On his belly. Yep.
And he seems really proud of that fact.
He does.
And he also doesn't look like he could reproduce because his pants are really tight. But please tell me how this character actually exists.
So Daphne just assumes this is like some giveaway from, Venture Brothers or something.
Exactly.
It can't actually be real.
He looks like a joke. Like if you were going to make a cliche Silver Age character.
And yet this was a Golden Age superhero who existed in the 1940s for like 83 adventures or whatever. Mr. Terrific. And he's one of my favorite comic book characters of all time, which is why he's on the...
Has he been rebooted?
No, he's... Well, a couple of times. Actually, there is a Mr. Terrific that currently is in the Justice Society of America right now.
And did they put Fair Play on his butt?
They put Fair Play on his...
Juicy Couture sweats?
Kind of like that, like up his leg and on his jacket. We'll have a picture of him up
He's got
blog.
A belt around his jacket. Not just on his pants. Around his jacket. I mean, is it a girdle?
No,
Is it for his figure? Does he have to wear it for the union because he can't do squats?
It's like one of those belts that
like you see people stalking in supermarkets.
Or the guys who wear my...
Is Fair Play the name of the supermarket he works in?
Fair Play. That's good. If I'm going to open
Fair
up a supermarket...
Fair Play for fair pay.
Oh, that's good. I like
You're
that.
Welcome.
We,
it's a freebie.
Thank you. The reason we love Mr. Terrific, and when I say
you.
We, I mean me.
Because you're the only one in this room.
Me and... Yeah, exactly. I'm the only one on this continent. His origin is this. He was a child prodigy. His name was Terry Sloan. He was born to wealth. He was born with a silver spoon in his mouth. He was born a child genius. He had like 12 doctorates by the time he was 18 years old. And he's a master at everything. There's nothing he hasn't tried that he's not good at. He's just a complete Renaissance man. And he's got everything in the world going for him. And so by age 25, he's hit complete pinnacle. There's nothing else to learn in the world. Nothing else to do. Everything is taken care of for him. So you know what he does? He tries to commit suicide.
Oh, so it's an uplifting.
It's an uplift. No, it's an...
This was from 19... When was this character?
1942. So he stands
there. And this is for kids' comics?
Yep. So he decides, you know what? I got nothing else to live for. So I'm going to stand on a bridge, and I'm going to throw myself off a bridge. And he is an eighth of a second away from killing himself by throwing himself off a bridge when he sees some other poor schmuck doing the same thing down the bridge. And in a moment of compassion, he instead dives after that guy to stop that guy from falling off the bridge, manages to save that guy's life. I think it was a woman. I haven't looked at the story for a long time. And tell me your story. And, of course, she tells her story of how her brother's in with a mob and something and this, and it's family trouble, and she's poor and so forth. And so, for the first time ever, Terry Sloan has some purpose outside of himself. He wants to go help somebody else for the first time. He's inspired to be out of his own shell for the first time ever. And so he goes off, and he puts on a superhero costume, as you do, and he...
He's such a genius.
You would think he would have a better fashion sense.
He would get his clothes fitted, he wouldn't have to wear a belt over his jacket.
What I love, you're right, actually, he clearly did not, of all the doctors he had,
was not tailoring.
Fashion was not one of them. So that's...
Is this Marvel or DC? Or
DC.
This is DC. Okay. So Tim Gunn can't go and save him. Because Tim Gunn's only at Marvel right now.
I know, but that would actually be awesome. That would be good to have Terry Sloan have a makeover like that. I like the character because there's something as goofy as it is, the core of it, he has the words fair play written on his clothes because that is the world in which he lives. So what I love about Mr. Terrific is that on top of all of this stuff, there's that dark undercurrent to his story, which I really like. That's part of the...
Well, it's treating kids like they're not adults, but like they're capable of understanding that your future isn't necessarily all like puppy dogs and
you're bringing the specter of death into the child's life. So he's just reading this comic in 1942, but he also wears the phrase "fair play" on his clothes.
Where did that come from?
It's the mantra by which he lives. He's just decided that.
But was that in like the story of the woman he saves? Like, where is its
origin? The origin comes out of that very first adventure when he realizes that. That he has been given these gifts, and he is now living in a world and sort of aware of a world in which the other people do not have these gifts, and it is not right that you have an obligation if you are given these talents to share with the world. You have an obligation to do right by other people and to share that wealth, if you will.
That's a sweet story.
I think so, and the God's honest truth is the reason he's on my desk is because that is a motto by which I would like to live. I would like to say that I live by that motto every moment of every day. I think the reality is I probably don't because we all fall short. But it really meant something to me as a kid, and it meant something to me growing up that was a moral compass to live by, which I genuinely believe in fair play. I genuinely believe in this notion that. If you are given gifts, if you have extraordinary wealth, if you have extraordinary talent, if you have an extraordinary intellect or whatever, it is your obligation. It is not just a choice that you make. It is your moral obligation to bring that into the world, to share that with those around you, to give to those who are less fortunate, because you want to believe that if the situation were reversed, that would happen to you. That if you were on the receiving end, that you would be able to benefit from others. I know that is an incredibly naive and unrealistic way of looking at the world. I can tell by the cynical look on your face.
It's not a cynical look. I wish that lesson was learned by some people. But that's all.
But I mean, the reality is, and it is true, do you know the fundament of every religion on earth is? The single common thread to every single religion in recorded history?
The golden rule.
The golden rule. The golden rule, do unto others.
Is that why he's wearing golden socks over his shoes?
That's it. Those are his golden rule socks. Stop. We've already decided he can't be he shouldn't be trusted.
This one's
with
do unto others, and this one's as you'd like to have done on yourself.
Exactly.
They come in pairs.
Oh my God. Look, he means well. So it's just
the hat is the same color as his pants, so this goes all the way up.
Apparently so.
Got a jumpsuit that has no openings up to and over. I mean, imagine having to do the bathroom in this thing. There's no zipper.
I don't even know where you put it on.
There's no zipper.
I guess I could put it on through the face mask.
It is a body sock.
The body sock.
He bought this off of the
body
fetish
suit.
Site.
A body sock. Yeah. Thank you. Anyway. Don't ruin this for me. We all love Mr. Terrific. So anyway, that's why Mr. Terrific is here. I'm asking you, on a scale of 1 to 10, how naive is it to want to believe that you have an obligation? Do you in fact have a moral obligation to share?
No, I actually wish that was a lesson that was taught in more popular culture.
Right.
I think that's, I think that's a really interesting, because it comes off tacky when you're summarizing it, yes.
Right.
But from the context of the story you told me, where he's about to kill himself.
Exactly.
I think it's shaded darkly enough where it's palatable to my modern taste.
Exactly, that's
I'll
what I'm saying.
That.
It is shaded darkly enough where there is an epiphany and
a
realization.
Frank Miller tainted soul.
And a transformation of character, and that there is a rising and advancing of the spirit in
this
story.
This where he decided to put fair play on his chest, like why his stomach.
I don't know, yeah. Because again, he could have put it on his chest, he could have put it on his neck, he could have put it on his back, but no, he puts it on his stomach. But there is a man who believes in what he believes. There is a man who is willing to stand behind his words because they are on his stomach. And you can't fault him for that.
And then he gets slapped in it. That's where you punch. That's like a target.
I know.
I just worry. That's all.
I understand. So are we agreed that you that
I
have a moral obligation if you have what others do not.
Yes.
That you have a moral obligation to share.
Well, I think, and it's also outside of, I would hope that would happen to me if I was lacking in something. But I also think, and I think that story, from what I've heard from you, and your very shoddy memory, let's be honest, Mark, you don't remember anything.
I just made the whole thing
you
up.
You just made the whole thing up.
Exactly.
You're senile. Yeah. But is that it comes out of, you have nothing else to do.
Right.
At one point, it's not even about you hope it will happen to you if you are weak.
Right.
It's, if you have all these gifts, what else are you going to use them for?
Right.
Like, what is your purpose in life?
How many mansions can you own?
Have to help someone else. That's what those gifts exist for.
How many mansions can you own? How many Porsches can you own? How many, you know...
You could look at mansions and Porsches as helping the local economy, let's be honest.
we could
take this fair play message
and
turn it into a little trickle-down Reaganomics, sir.
But you know what I'm saying.
Yes.
I think we're agreed on that. There is the...
He came to the conclusion of there's no purpose in my life but to help others.
Right.
It's not just because he didn't come to the conclusion of I was stripped away of these talents
right.
and I was treated like, so now that I've got them back,
right.
I won't do the same. He came to the conclusion because his life literally was meaningless.
Now, the extension of this that I also believe very firmly in, and I wish I could take credit for this, but I believe it was a quote by Nelson Mandela. And if not, we will edit that in the podcast. But it is essentially, and I don't know the exact quote, but I use it in Superman Birthright, that it is that if you that it is a sin. It is a sin to hide your light under a bushel. If you have, I'm not talking about a person who has everything, and then whether or not you know the moral question is whether you share it with other people. I'm talking about if you have a specific talent, if you have a specific gift, it is natural to want to sort of be shy about it sometimes, or not want to stand out, because nobody wants to stand out from the crowd as a general rule. I mean, not in any. Yes, there are the actors. I'm saying that in Los Angeles. I can't believe I said that in Los Angeles. But you know, what I mean, nobody wants to feel like a freak. Nobody wants to stand out and feel like they're being looked at or pointed at or mocked. But at the same time, you have an obligation to extend your talents to the world. You have an obligation to give your skills back in some way that benefits the world, even if it's only one thing you can do. And even if you're only the best violin player in your town, it's a sin to, and I don't use the word sin lightly because I'm not a very religious man, but it's a sin to hide that light under a bushel. Instead, it's part of the human, being part of the human race. Is you want to be in there and contribute. You want to be part of the organism that is Earth.
But it's also, it feels like one of those questions of if a tree falls in the forest, does it make a sound? What's the point of having it if you're not using it?
Right.
Like, it just in its very basic mechanism of having a talent, it's doing something.
Right.
So you need to be doing something or you're not doing it. It doesn't count. It doesn't exist.
Right.
So it feels almost like if you want to be pragmatic about it, if you want to be like, oh, I'm not obliged to do anything for anyone, it's still the fact of your talent is worthless if you're not actually putting it to use.
Exactly.
And you might as well put it to good use, because if not, you're a supervillain. Which, you know, sure. Valid lifestyle choice. I don't want to take that away from anyone.
Yeah.
But
again, creating problems in the economy. Exactly. So, all right, so what have we learned? What are the two magic words we've learned today?
Fashion stylist?
No, right here.
Sorry. I'm just like really distracted by the green and the red and the fair play.
Fair play. That was the magic word. That was the secret words of the Mark Waid podcast.
I forgot to tell you, Mark, I can't read. That's why I try to read comics.
I forgot to tell you, Daphna, I noticed. So, all right, we will be back next week with another 15 minutes with Mark Waid. And until then, we will catch you. We got to start editing these things.
I know, seriously.
All right, so that wraps us up for this time. We will join you next week for 15 Minutes with Mark Waid. I'm Mark Waid.
I'm Daphna.
And we will see you then.